Hello everyone, once again thank you very much for your massive support. The last video was a little bit more of an up and down roller coaster, and that's this whole story is very up and down. I get hints of aggression that's in there, and you know, I'm just trying to tell you how I'm feeling, my emotions at the time when all this is happened to me and my family. Like you're overplaying it in your head, and it's not great. It really isn't. It's really tough, and I just hope that you guys understand what I have to go through to be able to get this message across to you. So today I'm gonna be talking about how they ended up moving my brother, my big brother, from the hospital to the actual Chapel of Rest. Now, I get a phone call to say that he's down the Chapel of Rest and we're allowed to see him. They have spent a lot of time on Dean. Now, the Chapel of Rest that he went to, oh my God, amazing people, like absolutely amazing. And when you're picking a Chapel of Rest for someone you love to go to, now you're putting someone you love in the hands of somebody else to try and get them, to make the person that you love, who is no longer of this world, to look brand new, like he's asleep. Thanks to the guys at the co-op, they did just that. So again, I get a phone call saying that we can go down and see my brother at the Chapel of Rest. So we go down. I live in Ipswich. My mum lives in Felixstowe. It's about a 30-mile difference between our house. And I got there first. Again. I'm sitting outside, I'm on my own, because all my family live in Felixstowe. Well, all of my sisters and my mum live in Felixstowe. So I meet them in a car park. It's a different kind of feeling this time round to what it was before. Not because I'm getting used to it, far, far from, you know, but my mum comes and she's so down, so drawn in, so sad. And to see her like that, I just want to shake her and say, will you just get changed? Like, sort yourself out. I can't. How the hell can you say to a woman who's now about to see her son again laid out on a slab? I see my mum pull up. She's crying. I'm not getting used to it. I'm not getting used to her crying at all every time I see her. And she gets out of the car and she's got flowers, like loads of flowers. And she's like, it's really hard to explain. She's crying and she's so upset, but she's happy she's getting to see him. Because last time she saw him, it was in dim lights. It was in a dark room. And he was very pale. we go into the entrance of the co-op, and the guy is there to meet us. And I shook his hand and I said, "Hi, I'm Paul. I've come to see my brother." Like, "Oh yeah, he's just in there playing on the computer." "I've come to see my brother." "Yeah, sure. Can I speak to you for a minute?" "What the fuck do you want to speak to me about?" In my head, I want to see my brother. There's nothing to say, is there? Take me to the room. I'm fighting demons in my head with what I actually want to say and what I have to say, because I have to stay, I have to stay correct. One, because it's respectable to the people that have not lost and they're just doing their job. And two, I have to stay correct because if I lose it, my family fall apart. And right now, I am the only person that's keeping them together, because without me dealing with everything, my brother stays in the fridge. He speaks to me, he says, "Do you want to go in first to have a look to make sure everything's okay for your mum?" "What do you mean for my mum? What do you mean? Do I want to go in there and make sure everything's okay for my mum? Are you fucking mad? What about me? What about, is it okay for me? It's my brother." Again, thoughts that went through my head. "Yes, please. If you don't mind, thank you." We both walk out of the office together and I say to my mum, "I'm just going to go in and check, make sure he's all right first." "Okay. He will be all right, won't he?" "Yes, mum, of course. Why do you need to check on him then? Why can't I come in with you?" "Mum, I just need to go in there and check." I was holding back everything I could to not burst out crying. I'm shaking, but I'm still, like, I am still, but inside I am shaking. "Please, mum, please, just let me just go in there and see," is what I was thinking. "Yeah, mum, he's fine. He's fine, mum. I'm just going to go in and make sure everything's all right, because I want to make sure he's all right, because I picked him the right outfit and I want it to be right for you. You picked him an outfit." "Picking an outfit for your big brother. I normally copied what he wore when I was a kid. Trainers, shirts, jeans, everything I tried to mimic him. He had dreadlocks. It's my brother's mixed race. He had dreadlocks. Oh, I had stupid little plaits in my hair. But that final outfit decision, if you have a child and you pick their first outfits to come out of hospital, to come home in, but that shit's easy. You're like, yeah, this one, this is nice. It's blue, let's get him a blue outfit. It's pink, let's get her a pink outfit. But that final outfit, wow. I started up my own clothing range, and all these new tracksuits come in. And as they come in, and whenever I had something new come in, Dean would be the first one in the box. I want that, I want that, I want that. Let me have that first. Let me be the first one to have it. Bruv, get your sticky fingers out of my box. You don't need to be in there. I ain't even looked at it yet. Yeah, bruv, but this one's my size. We used to call each other brother. Bruv. It wasn't street talk. It was just the way that me and him spoke to each other. So I knew that the outfit that he had to have had to be that outfit, because he bugged me so much for it. But I never got round to giving it to him because I was just so busy with the shop. Again, not making time. I give him the outfit he wanted, the exact outfit. Picked him a hat, a snapback, because he always had a fresh trim. But the problem is with this fresh trim, is he had an autopsy. And because of the autopsy, and they did what they had to do, he had scars over his head that they tried to cover up with his hair, but he had short hair, so you could still see the scar. And I knew that I would embarrass him. How mad is that? You're still thinking about his honour. Even though he can't say or do anything, you still know that that scar would have embarrassed him through his hairline and messed up his hairline. So I picked him the perfect hat. Snapback. Fresh tracksuit. And I bought him a brand new pair of trainers. I said, did you have any underwear? Underwear? Yeah. Didn't know if you wanted to put any underwear on him. Nah, mate, I ain't got any underwear. So he got himself some nice designer boxers, nice designer socks. Because I know that he would have loved that. So I did all that. And being in this position where you're dressing your brother, his final outfit was so... I went into the room, the first one in the room, obviously, to go and see my brother. And there he was. In a temporary coffin. Slightly tilted in it. Almost like not his normal pose, you know? He was like... When they slid him in, he was a little bit wider than a coffin. Like, you know, when you get into a tight bath and you're in the bath and your shoulders come forward like that. But he looked comfortable. He looked so comfortable, so peaceful. Why are you so peaceful, bruv? Why? I'm not at peace. How selfish of me to think that. Come on, bruv, get up. Stop fucking around. I said that to him. I said to him, now would be a good time, bruv, to just get up and just say, ha, fooled ya. Now's that time, bruv. Come on. He ain't getting up. He's there and that's where he's gonna stay. I'll get myself sorted. I looked at the guy. I said he looks amazing, mate. Thank you. But I'm not sure he's going to be happy with the amount of makeup you've put on him. And the guy looked at me like he didn't know what to say or do, because I looked at him in the eyes and I said to him that, yeah, he's not going to be happy with the amount of makeup you put on him. And because you're in that situation where you're like, I don't know if you're joking, mate. I don't know if to, like, crack a laugh. I don't know if nothing, but I didn't want to make the man feel uncomfortable. I was just trying to lighten the mood for him, because can you imagine what this guy is like? He's in a firing line for every single family that has to visit someone that has been taken from on that cold bed. I said he weren't really a makeup kind of guy. And he tried to explain to me the embalming and how you had to try and make him look like the... And I said to... I put my hand on his shoulder and I said, whilst giving it a tiny little squeeze, not like an aggressive squeeze, just a little one, just saying, I'm just messing, man. I'm trying to make it sit right in my head. And he was like, okay, I thought you didn't like something. I said, mate, he looks amazing. He said, do you want me to go and get your family now? I said, I need to do it, mate. He said, okay. He goes, you can have as long as you want. But remember, just remember, the longer he's out of the fridge, the worse condition he's going to become. What? He's frozen. What do you mean the worst he can come? Keep him out. Keep him out in the warmer temperatures. Of course I want him warm. I want the heat to be able to bring him back to fucking life. What are you talking about? I understand, mate. It was my reply. I understand. I didn't understand. It was all so confusing to me because... I was in pain. So I go out to the room and I get my mum and I bring her in. And I say, come on, come and see him. We go walking to the door. And before we go in, I put my hand on the handle. I look back at my mum. And I say to her, Are you ready? Are you ready? I'm opening the door to a first child that's been murdered. And I'm saying, are you ready? And I've had all these thoughts in my head of people saying stupid things to me. Are you fucking serious? I don't know what else to say. Are you ready? Does he look bad? Mummy looks good. He looks good. He looks like he's just asleep. He looks like he's asleep. Undone the door. As she walks in, she steps in, this wailing. My baby. Ooh. She's shaking, my baby. And then my sister's making similar noises. They were the same. My stepdad has put his hand on my mum's shoulder, walking slowly to her, towards my brother, who's laying there, open for everyone to see. He don't know what he's doing. He hasn't got a clue. He's just trying his hardest to be there. But at the same time, this man has just suffered a stroke. And he's not well himself because of the stress of it. My mum's trying to hold his hand, stroke his arm, trying to lean in to kiss him. Trying to lean over the coffin to try and kiss my brother. But I want her to kiss him, but I'm trying to say to her, Mum, no, be careful. Be careful. He can't feel nothing. What do you mean, be careful? It's not going to fall apart. What's the matter with you? Be careful, Mum. Because the reason why I was saying be careful was because visually he didn't look cold. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't know whether you've been or anyone's been to a morgue when they've got a dead body in front of you. And you know that in your head, you know that it's been in the freezer. But when you touch it, even though it's been in the freezer, the skin is not rock solid like you'd get a bit of meat out of the freezer at home. It's not rock solid. It's still soft, but it is so, so cold. And I didn't want my mum to feel that cold on her lips when she tried to kiss my brother on the face. So she kissed his hand. She was kissing his hand, trying to pick it up and kiss it. And I said, Mum. And she just kept trying to touch him. And I'm saying, Mum, you can't do that. You just need to leave him there. And just, you need to like just stroke and touch rather than like pick up, try and pick him up. I'm sorry. I just want to hold him. I want to take him home. Let me take him home, Paul. Please let me take him home. Mum, you can't take him home. I want to take him home. I want him to wake me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Say, do you want to come and watch TV downstairs? Like he did to me when I was a kid. Are you hungry? Shall I show you how to make spring rolls in a deep fat fryer? I want to take him home. But you dirty little scumbags. You dirty scum. For reputation. Because of you people that carry knives. Because of you, each and every person that stabs somebody to gain notoriety or respect, you are the reason why we can't take our loved ones home. And why I have to stop my mother kissing her firstborn child on the face because of the cold skin, the freezing cold skin that only comes with death. Everyone's putting flowers over him, writing little messages, putting paper in there. My mum's just not moved from that one spot that was right by his side. She hasn't moved. She ain't letting anyone else in. Everyone has to work around her. Her hands are going around the outside of her. And my sister, Jasmine, her and Dean were like best friends. They were together everywhere. She was exactly the same as my mum. To say to her, don't kiss him, don't lean on him, and because you'll squash him. But I didn't want her to feel how cold he was. I put some black gloves on him because after the autopsy that the police had to do, the criminal autopsy afterwards that they had to do, they had to do a little bit, to be a little bit more invasive. So then he had scars on his hands the autopsy guy, the funeral guys turned around and said, you can't lean too hard on him. Try not to touch him too much, because where they'd cut and restitched him back up to be 100% for him to move on to the next life. Like liquid and stuff would seep out through the scars. And I didn't want my mum to see the scars, because they fucked me up. They fucked my head up. So I was trying to teach my brother how to be a tattooist, and they said, we can put on some white gloves if you want. And I was like, nah. I said, I'll get some of my gloves from work. And I got these black Panthera gloves, and I put them on him so it looked like he was just wearing normal gloves, but they weren't. They were tattoo gloves. He looked apart. He looked really good. He looked really good. But he's still not coming home. Now, we was in there a fair old while, and watching my family fall apart and just be so down, and I had no control of it, and had to say to people, come on, Dean wouldn't want to see you crying. He wouldn't want you crying. You know it. Come on. You know, he could be in this room now, like, just being like, come on, bruv, sort them out where we are. I don't want to see him crying, because he didn't like anyone getting upset, especially family. And he's always said, come on, bruv, we need to sort this out. Come on. And the guy who took us into the room, he come back out and he said, can I have a word? And I didn't want to leave, because I knew as soon as I left the room, my mum would have been on him and my sister would have been on him. And everything that I'd been trying to do would be... stop him them from squeezing stuff out of him. And so I went to the door and he said, "We really have to put him back now." "What do you mean you have to put him back now? Put him back in the fridge? I said, he's here with his family. This is where he should be, with us." And I understood that he had to go back. So he went back in the fridge and we had to go. Everyone said their goodbyes. Everyone said their goodbyes again. It was never ending because before we'd even left, when Mum knew that we had to say goodbye and my sisters knew that we had to say goodbye, they was like, "When can we come back? When can we come back and see him? Like, he's moved house or something and we're just popping around for dinner or something like that." And I said, "I'll sort it out. I'll sort it out soon, I promise." So we left. My mum was the last one out of the room with me, obviously, because I had to make sure. I have to grab my mum with a little bit of forcefulness and turn her and walk her out. But as I'm walking my mum out, I just still have my hand on her shoulder. And I'm sort of like walking her out the door. And I put my hand on the door to close it behind me. I take one last look back. And I say, "I love you, bruv." And for him not to say it back to me, because he'd always say it, "Love you, bruv. I love you, bruv." Went to see him a few more times after that. 4 times to be precise, and every time it was exactly the same. It was exactly the same. It didn't. It was like you were just restarting that day over and over and over again. Every single time you went in there. But I understood what the guy said. The more you pull Dean out of the fridge, the worse he's going to look. Because you could see he started. The smell of death is fucking disgusting. It's disgusting because you know that the only way that you can smell is if you're rotting. And the more that you took him out, the more that he was rotting. And how can you say to your mum, "No, mum, because he is rotting. He needs to stay there." Because I wanted to see him too. How selfish are we to make him keep coming out so we can get that half an hour with him? But the whole time, we're losing what he looks like. Because he's changing colour. And the makeup's not helping anymore. Because you can see that he's starting to change. You will never really know this feeling. And you will never understand it. But I hope that you understand the reason why I'm doing this and my message. Because if you don't, I truly feel sorry for your parents if they have to say goodbye to you or to the other people when they have to sit in the dock and watch you get put away for a small amount of years for the lifetime of suffering that a family has from the actions that you create. Put down that fucking knife. Stop being a pussy. At least if you get smacked up, you can come back. no jail, no death, no nothing. A knife just don't kill one person, it kills everybody. And as soon as all you youngsters and you people that are carrying knives understand this, maybe you can all live like men.